Grace to you and peace and provisions for gospel communication be yours from God our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who continues to enlighten, encourage, and sanctify us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a spot of high drama. In fact, I think it's still vibrating up here. When you think of the last two evenings, right on this spot, here's where the student, the candidate, prospective vicar stood. I guess the first night I was about in the fourth row right behind you vicars, and last night I was here watching that drama unfold. I heard it. I could see the stoic look on your faces. You stood here, some looking at the cross, others looking at the person standing here. Some with the yes as the name came through. And then, at least on one occasion, there was the no that came from out of the congregation. You went out with your family and your friends, at least two-thirds of you. There's a third of us here that are in that first year class that don't go through this experience this year. And then came the night and you finally tried to sleep, but you were still thinking. Your mind went backward and forward. Should I have said something different in my interview? What if? What now? And we all know that the rest of the school year is somewhat of a state of suspended animation. But now it's the morning after. How do you think about it this morning? Or how will those of you who didn't go through it during these last 2 days think about it when that time comes? What is the basis for viewing this life, this reality? What place do we stand in when you try to understand it? It seems to me from the human point of view, there are four different kinds of ways that you can think about it. And you may have had a combination of those. There can be determinism. Yes, it took place. It was determined by somebody else, by the placement committee, by Dr. Bullhagen, by the Council of Presidents, maybe by God. And sometimes there's kind of a sense of resentment saying, I'd like to determine the when, the where, the how, and the why. And we can come at it from the viewpoint of idealism. You know, it really isn't so important what happened here. It's how we think about it. Order is imposed on this situation by our minds. It's how I think about it that counts. I have to get a hold of this situation. I have to figure out what to do about it, how to think about it. You notice on both of these first two, there's a lot of emphasis on I, myself, and me. Then there's instrumentalism. Yes, it happened. What's important now is how's it going to affect me? How will it affect my life, my family? If it meets my needs, embrace it, use it. If not, reject it and get rid of it. Very much the way of thinking in our world today. And then finally, what we might call the fourth way of looking at things, the fourth place to stand is realism. Yes, it happened. It is real. But my knowledge and my understanding of just what happened and what it means is not really complete. I need help to understand. I need help to integrate this into my life. And just as a little parenthetical expression, some of us are going to face that in a very real way, and we don't have to face it alone. Look for a trusted pastor. Look for a trusted professor. Look for someone maybe outside of your own age group to talk through these things with you. God can help to use that person in your life. But as we think about the place to stand, the way to view this reality, we get back to the text. And that last verse particularly, it says, we don't look for things that can be seen, but for things that can't be seen. Things that can be seen are only temporary, but things that can't be seen last forever. It's a little bit like those first disciples. They were out there on the Mount of Olives. They had asked Jesus a question, and he'd said to them, "No, I can't tell you about that. It's in the Father's hands, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and out to the uttermost parts of the world." And then the next thing they knew, he was going, and then the cloud came, and he was gone, and they found themselves staring at Christ, focusing on Christ, even when they couldn't see him anymore with their physical eyes. This understanding of our text is unpacked very well for us in Colossians 3, 1 to 4. We want to look at that and just take a few pieces of that this morning. It says there, "Since you were brought back to life with Christ, focus on the things that are above." You notice the same thing that we heard in the Corinthians passage. Above, where Christ holds the highest position. Keep your mind on things above, not on worldly things. You've died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is your life. When he appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. First point we see there in Colossians 3, verse 3, is you have died. Maybe a lot of you identify with that in terms of things that happened in your life. Some of you, for that pulling on your shirt sleeve that went on for years and years until finally you said, "Okay, I'm coming to the seminary." And maybe you feel that's the time that I died. Old things passed away. Everything became new. Another passage that's meaningful there is Romans 6, 3, where it says, those who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. It was death, the death of Christ, that swallowed up death and gives us that new life. In Galatians it says, those that have been baptized into Christ have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, like putting on a new robe. Maybe that's what happened here. I think of saying that to Walter last night after the placement service was over. It's a new life for you now after this evening. Put on Christ as the clothes. Another point. Your life is tied up with Christ. He rose from the dead, and because he lives, we too live. That's really what Christ means, especially in this post-Easter season. Not just here, but right through our whole self and through our heart and our feet and our life, the things we do, the things we say, the places we go, where we serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that in that moment of uncertainty, and those disciples faced that too. Jesus had been nailed to the cross. Then all at once there was a message that he was alive. Then some of him saw him. But then the next thing that happened is the rumor came out in Jerusalem that they'd stolen the body away, that he was still dead. In that moment of uncertainty, Jesus says to them, "Wait a minute. All authority, even in this time when you're focused so much on the physical things here, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And I will be with you everywhere until the end of the age." This unseen part that Jesus was talking about is the foundation of reality. We know that. God is real. Jesus is our life. We're intertwined with him in that life. And the Spirit of truth, Spirit of God, as some say, is the finger that points around the corner, always pointing toward the Lord Jesus Christ, is there to encourage us, is there to enlighten our minds, is there to help us understand really what it means. Not pie in the sky, but knowing, as the angels told those disciples, just as Jesus went up, so too he's going to come back in the same manner someday. And in the meantime, you live that life in Christ. He is all in all. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. So, really what it is, in a day after a great 2 days like this, is we live by faith, not by fear. With the eye of faith, we have a vantage point to view all of those things that are happening in this life. Christ holds the highest position. He's at the right hand of the Father. And when Satan wants to tempt us to reinterpret, to go over things and say, what if? Jesus is there saying, no, they're not guilty, Father. I died for their sins. You brought me back to life again. They are part of my body. They've passed over from death to life. And then we think, too, about the fact that eternity is so long and this portion of it is so short. And it's like our text is saying, put on the glasses of things that are above, the reality of what Christ has done, and look at everything that happens in life through those glasses. View it from that vantage point, from that viewpoint. Interpret it that way. And the Spirit of God will give you peace and show you the way through. Christ is your life. And we say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. My life is connected with Him. His purpose is my purpose. That's what it was all about last night and the night before. His purpose is my purpose. His will is my will. And when Jesus said, I came here to save the lost and I came here to go out and seek the lost, we are part of His body, part of His family, and we say, that's what it is for us too. We've been called or we've been placed in our vicarage to sow the seed of the Word of God, to sow it within the circle of those Christians that are already connected with that body, to sow it without the circle, outside of the circle, to those who have not heard, to those who need to hear again so that the Holy Spirit can work faith in their mind. But just one word as we come to a close here. The pressures of work are going to be many, and the temptations are going to be many too. It was that way with Jesus. After He'd healed many, they came and told Him in the morning, everyone's looking for you. And it's real interesting what Jesus said at that point. He said, let us go somewhere else to the small towns that are nearby. I have to speak the word of God to them also, outside of the circle, to those where the seed needs to be planted. That's why I've come. So He went to spread the good news all over Galilee. In order to pull our thoughts together, not really a prayer, but a kind of testimony of our own faith, let's open our hymn books again to this 139. I'd like for us to read that in closing of this time of meditation together, that hymn 139, the beautiful Easter hymn, and it gives us that place to stand, to look at the new things in life that are with us. So we begin with verse 1. We say it together. Jesus lives, victory's won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, death reign is done. From the grave will Christ recall me. Brighter scenes will then recommence. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, to Him the throne. There above all things is given. I shall go where He is gone, live and reign with Him in heaven. God is faithful, doubtings hence, this shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, for me He died, hence will I to Jesus living. Pure in heart and act abide, praise to Him and glory giving. All I need God will dispense, this will be my confidence. Jesus lives, and I am sure, neither life nor death shall sever me from Him. I shall endure in His love through death forever. God will be my sure defense. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, and now is death, but the grave of light immortal. This shall calm my troubled breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry, as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence. By the grace and power of God, may Jesus always be our confidence. May he be the place in which we stand, the place in which we interpret all of those things that we face in this world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.